Hello and welcome to the Silver Lining Podcast. My name is Lina Perez and I'm thrilled to be offering you this opportunity to take a look behind the curtain of my life as a professional bookkeeper and financial boss lady. I aim to provide you with loads of information and help you navigate some of what you've been hearing from your accountant, from the ATO, from social media, your annoying friends who've got their finances in order and really think they can help you. Let me be that friend. This is the first episode of the Silver Lining Podcast, and I guess now is as good a time as ever for me to introduce myself. My name is Lina Perez, and I am the founder of a business called Counting Clouds. We are a bookkeeping firm and we're based in Melbourne, Australia. We work mainly with creatives, artists and designers, musicians, ceramicists, architects, coffee roasters, jewelry designers, and the list sort of goes on forever of all the different kinds of people we work with, but the common ground is that it's mainly a creative business service that we provide. I have a background myself as a hobby musician and a jeweler. I started Counting Clouds because I was working for small creative businesses, and I realized that there was a bit of a gap in the market, and a few people that I knew didn't know how to sort of keep track of their own finances and their bookkeeping, and so they would come to me and ask questions, and that's where I saw the opportunity. Feel free to go and check out our website. It is www.countingclouds.com.au, and send me a message through there, and we can see how we can help you. We decided to do this podcast because we wanted to create a space to discuss these very important and sometimes quite overwhelming notices that we get from places like the government and the tax office. And I have also invited a few friends to come and talk about it with me, so you don't just have to listen to my voice. So the name of our podcast is based on a play on words, which is mainly my name, which is Lina, spelled L-I-N-E, and very often mispronounced as Line, particularly in Australia. And also, I suppose it's the feeling that you might be having right now about your finances. Your head is stuck in a big dark cloud, and you don't know how to get in or out, and you know that there's going to be a storm coming one way, or lightning will strike. This is us turning that cloud inside out for you to see the silver lining. All right, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to give you some news from the latest of what the powers that be have given us, and then we are also going to share with you a discussion that I just had with a couple of colleagues about that news. But first, let me introduce to you the guest that I've invited on the podcast today. I'll be joined by my second in charge, right-hand lady, master of the books for many of your favorite 90s bands, cake baking extraordinaire, Bernadette Morley. Bern has been working for me at Counting Clouds for 5 years now, and quite frankly, I would be stuffed without her. We'll also be joined by our very impressive friend who claims to have at least three first instruments, piano, bass, and vocals, accountant and composer Brendan Sui. Brendan is a provisional member of the ICAA, specializing in providing accounting and tax services to creative professionals. He's also an active member of both the music and video game development industries, and he plays keyboards for Melbourne band The Theme Team, who perform nothing but theme songs. Today's topic of discussion is finances in a time of crisis. But first, news from the boss lady. Today I wanted to share some news from the ATO about the current situation that we're living in. There's obviously been a lot to digest for everybody, and I just thought I could touch base on a few points, especially what has just come in. I won't go into detail about the stimulus package as it is, because I've done that over and over again over the last week or so, but I do want to let you know what the ATO is saying, and that is that they want to assist you by giving you more flexibility. They're a bit more lenient on negotiating payment plans. They've scrapped the general interest charge on debts, and in general they're just going to be a little bit nicer. The government is then in turn trying to assist us with the stimulus package. Yes, there are some big tax savings in there for people who have employees, and also for, you know, if you have spare money lying around and you want to invest in equipment. But for just you and I as regular people in the streets, we still have to pay our taxes, but they'll be nice. In other news, Counting Clouds now has a sign at the front of our building where our office is in Brunswick Street, Fitzroy. It now says Counting Clouds, not Tattoo, and potentially you won't be so confused when you come to visit. That's it for news from the boss lady today. Let's now move on to the conversation that I had with Brendan and Bern earlier this morning. Hope you enjoy. This morning I caught up with Bernadette and Brendan to discuss the current state of affairs as of the 24th of March 2020. I want to acknowledge that this is a really, really difficult time for all of us, and I genuinely feel for the people who have lost work, for the people who are uncertain about their financial next couple of months or even further into the future. We all feel it, and this is why we're trying to knot a few things out for you. We basically touch on some of the government stimulus package items. We talk about what your options might be, and we also try just to give a little bit of advice as best we can. If you have any other questions or concerns at all, please get in touch with me and I'll try and help you the best I can. Welcome, Bernadette and Brendan.
Hi.
Hi.
Right now, everyone is sort of in flux. It's the 24th of March today, 2020, and it's the first day of children being home from school in Victoria and most of Australia, and it's sort of the first week of all of us humans trying to get used to the idea of working from home if we can, and for a very large group of people, it's the first week of maybe not working at all and not knowing where your next dollar is going to come from. So that's part of what we'd like to talk about today, through this crazy time where our lives have been turned upside down. We've changed the way we work, the way we shop, the way we get around, and it's really just happened on a day-to-day basis. So I'd like to try and pick your brains on how would you advise someone who potentially has lost all of the work that they had planned for the next 3 months, and if they don't have an emergency fund of a savings account, what would we advise them to do to kind of get through the next little while? Bern, through your work with Counting Clouds, I know that you've been talking to quite a few clients in the last week or since last, not this last Friday, but the Friday before when all the cancellations came in. What are you hearing from people, and what are you advising them?
So I look after a lot of musicians, and collectively I would say they got about over 500,000 in upcoming fees just wiped in a day. So we do at least 6 monthly cash flow forecasts for them, and they are out the window, obviously. And musicians, I think there's this idea that they have lots and lots of money, and some do, but a lot are just running per tour and running like a normal family does. So what I'm finding is that I'm having to discover a lot about less their business, I know that, but more about their home and personal situations that I didn't need to know before, but now that they need some help, I'm finding one of the biggest things is that a lot of clients are either single, married with children, in any situation that they're in, studying, weren't accessing their Centrelink benefits that they're entitled to because often it was too hard. Their income fluctuated a lot. So that was another reason people just don't go looking for it, because they're just, you know, it's just too hard. But now I think everyone needs to get past that it's too hard and go and get what they're entitled to. And this could be family assistance. It could be like a study allowance. The New Start's got a new name. I'm not sure what it is now, but that for a lot of our freelancers, sole traders, all those people are now, all the casuals who just lost their jobs, this is the payment that they need to apply for.
Yeah, so take the time, even though calling Centrelink or going there, if it's going to take you a day, if it's going to save your income for the next little while to be on Centrelink payments, you know, put in that effort, even though it's painful. You have to fill in forms and things, but do it.
And I would also say get prepared would be one of my other things as well. I know there's certain forms you have to have. If you've had a baby, there is a certain form you get when you take a baby home from hospital. You'll need the serial number on that. You'll need your Medicare details. You'll need your taxable incomes for 2019. You'll need your tax returns up to date and lodged. So there's a bunch of stuff that might stop you in your tracks, but if you can try and have everything ready and done, then it, you know, at least your claim is in, and then you can go from there.
Brendan, in terms of so Bern was just saying you need to have everything up to date in terms of your tax returns and things like that. I mean, I know I have a lot of friends that, you know, they don't think that they make enough money to have to pay tax or whatever, so they just simply don't lodge. What would your advice be to someone who potentially hadn't really kept up to date if they were, say, 2 years behind with their tax returns?
Well, like a lot of government payments, they're going to require the most recent lodged tax return. So if you're someone who has, you know, backdated compliance work that needs to be done, you do have the option of going to MyGov yourself and filling out that lodgement there, or if your lodgements are so out of several years out of date, you may need to approach a tax agent to complete that for you. In either case, it's also a good time to get the remainder of your bookkeeping done for those periods of time. All of these government payments usually are going to be to some degree income and or asset tested, and usually the most useful piece of information or document that will provide that will be your last tax return. So that would be the first step, really, engaging the right person to do it, whether it's yourself or a tax agent, but also begin doing your bookkeeping in whatever manner that was, how you're doing it, if there's someone else doing it for you, or you if someone sort of provided you a template to have that done.
Yeah, definitely. Because I do have, at times we've had people come through our doors that, you know, say, oh, I haven't done my tax return for 5 years. Can you help me? And even though, you know, it may be sort of a reasonably simple task in terms of, you know, picking out from the bank statements what's income and what's business related expense. They simply don't have the headspace or the, you know, the time or inclination to do it at the time. So we have done a few rescue jobs like that. And I guess people are always confused whether do they need a bookkeeper to do that for them, or can they just take everything straight to the accountant? But I guess that would depend on the accountant, is that right?
Sure, yeah. It would also depend on the nature of the kind of work they do, how complex that might be, how regular those things are. I guess when it comes to an individual, it's very common, especially with musicians and creatives, where they actually are doing multiple different types of work, whether they're employed doing something else, as well as earning business income. As we know, that there are other sources of income that might be coming in from dividends from shares, rental properties, and so on and so forth. So, of course, everyone's situation is different, and, you know, their tax return will be catered towards their situation. But in general, the idea of bookkeeping is always going to be common amongst them all, right? So the idea of having good records and getting them and collating all of that now. One other thing I will add to that is that it's not uncommon for people to have backdated tax returns, but especially in finance, they're always looking for the most recent period. So I do have a couple of clients who we are prioritizing their 2019 tax return, which may be overdue, whilst there are other ones overdue, we're looking at the most recent one first and then looking to clear out the backlog after that, simply because we sort of anticipate any application that might require an income test will be based on the most recent financial year. So, yeah, prioritizing that most recent year first may be useful for some people.
Yeah, that's a good tip, actually, because then you don't have to try and remember what you bought 5 years ago. Yeah. So the Australian government has introduced two parts of some stimulus packages so far, and we're probably expecting to see more. So there's the company, the small business cash flow help in terms of waiving the PAYG withholding, so which is the tax that businesses withhold on their staff's wages. So they're going to waive that from January through to June, and possibly and also through to end of September, as far as I can see. And there's the, you know, the incentives for businesses to spend in terms of the asset write-off, which for me seems a bit redundant at this time, because I don't think anyone would be out investing in equipment unless they were really seriously cashed up. But with the withholding of those taxes and then the waiving of that, what will that mean? Does that mean that there will be implications further down the track for all of us? I mean, I keep feeling that it's all fine for us to get all of these handouts, but where will the money come from? And we will eventually have to pay it back, right?
Right. I mean, that is really interesting. I think to answer the answer to the question definitely is we'll whether or not this may be an issue is that, well, potentially it's definitely not a no, because it's not really that money doesn't really represent any additional form of income. It's actually just the liability component against that income. So if you're in possession of that liability still exists. There may be an obligation later to pay it back. I mean, it may improve your cash flow now, but there's potential problems that come from that as well. A lot of people simply have one source of income, that salary, and they are reliant on their employers to make the necessary calculations, withhold the necessary amounts, and forward them to the ATO. So at the end of the financial year, whenever they're doing their lodgements, there will be a sufficient amount when they declare the income that they've made that year. That game is different for people who have mixed incomes, especially musicians, or people who rely solely only on business income. The onus of all of that falls on them. So that's not new. I think that's the battle of people, of contractors, of people earning solely business income. They're always in a position where I don't know what my income tax liabilities are at any given point in time. it's a very it's always a moving target, something that people have to react to. Usually every quarter they're sort of assessing how much their installment payment might be, and then they'll be revising it based on how much they may be able to afford or what their future trading conditions would look like. That was something I did read, that one of the recommendations handed down was to alter PAYG installments as a way to improve their cash flow.
But you'd have to pay that eventually.
Precisely, yeah. So I think it does bring up that very interesting issue that whilst it is improving, it will improve people's short-term cash flow, that obligation does not disappear. And in the future, that there may be an obligation to pay that back.
Yeah. I really tend to think of it of a bit more of a in sort of the whole economy's scale. Like, are they just going to print more money? What, like, how are they going to salvage this in terms of the whole thing? Because, you know, what is it, 66 billion now that the package is up to? If then we're not paying tax, how are they going to fund it? so eventually we're going to have to pay something, right?
Right. Unless there's sort of there are some changes to the tax rates, to the obligations for the individuals and what they are required to pay, this may simply be a deferment of the problem.
Mm. In some of the other points in those stimulus packages, Bern, like we were talking about, was the early access to superannuation.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit to what I know that, you know, both of us we agree on this, but I would say that there may be younger generations who perhaps aren't quite thinking ahead. Not saving for their future.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, the government stimulus is making available $10,000 to be withdrawn from your super before the end of the financial year, and then another one in the next financial year. So $20,000 all up. So, I'm not a financial advisor, so by no means, please don't take this as advice for what you should or shouldn't do. But from what I've been listening to, that's equivalent if you are around a 35-year-old, probably man, because a woman's super is generally not at the same level at that age. But taking 20,000 out is equivalent to taking 80,000 out long term. And I know when you're younger, you're like, I got heaps of time, it's fine. But you'd be taking it out at not even the bottom of the market, like 40% has been shaved off at least. It'll bottom out again. You will, I mean, I get though, like I also get how right now, if stuff is really dire, $10,000 is $10,000 and you worry about it later. I get that mindset as well. But if you can possibly not do it, don't do it would be what I would tell you to do. Don't take the money. It's your savings. It is forced upon us as a taxpayer and as a wage earner. It just seems so – it's a short-term cash flow solution for a very long-term problem eventually. That's my thinking anyway.
I tend to agree with that, especially on principle, in that we have to remember that superannuation is something that – it's an initiative that we all agree to do as a means for being able to survive in our later years. Whilst we are in a moment of crisis right now in so many ways, perhaps there's some part of us that can remember that this is also short-term as well. I guess an analogy I'll make to it is that we're currently looking for a vaccine for this current virus, and we've actually I believe we've actually administered to some patients already. But we do have to wait the 12, 18 months to assess whether or not there's going to be any these patients will have any reactions to it. I guess a lot of people may be thinking, well, why don't we sort of push out the vaccine now? And the point is that we don't want to take short-term risks that may have worse long-term effects.
Yeah, and I guess that would be the same financially, right?
Precisely. By withdrawing from your super now, whilst that seems very attractive, again, improving short-term cash flow may have pejorative long-term effects.
Yeah.
And there's one more thing to put to that is too that it would depend on your super fund, but if it dips below a certain amount, the life insurances that you have coming out of them, the sickness and accident insurance policies you have coming out of them will cease and they won't cover you. So there's a lot of things to take into account rather than just thinking that you're getting $10,000. And I'm in two minds because I understand how important it is for people just to be able to survive right now. But I think, yeah, it has to be your last resort.
I agree.
Agreed. So are there any other sort of questions that you have heard or any, like I was on the phone to a client this morning she's a jewelry maker and she's also got a store where she sells a lot of, beautifully designed, locally designed goods and things like that. And they're at the moment, their online store is, still going well, but they're obviously expecting it to dry out when people kind of start holding on to their money a little bit more as time passes. She was saying she's making a decision every time she goes shopping. She decides whether is she going to support Coles or Woolworths, or will she try and go and support her local greengrocers and the local businesses? And I think, there's a lot to be said about thinking about where you're spending your money at this moment. So I know that particularly within the designers and the makers and the people those people that we work with, there's a big community, and I think people really support each other. But eventually, we'll probably not want to worry about buying pretty things if there's no more rice in the supermarket or whatever. So I think everybody will probably become a bit more mindful of how they spend. But have you had any thoughts about that, about sort of habits and looking after your locals, things like that?
I guess I don't probably even have to talk to clients about this one. It's just an individual personal thing, right? Like right now, I'm just making sure we've got food in the house, bare minimum food, just, like staples in the house. So, and my husband's a plumber. We don't know what will happen with construction. We can't afford to be doing anything. It's not even silly, but like, I've been to the shops a couple of times in the last week and I haven't even bothered to window shop or look at pretty things or do any of that. Cause I'm just like, I don't need that. And it's gone from a want to a needs basis really quickly. And so I assume anyone who sells something that's not a necessity right now, and that's why we're being shut down and the essential services are open, it's going to be really, really hard. It's going to be a struggle because there just won't be the cash to go and do it, even if you'd like to.
Yeah, it's true. What do you think, Brendan?
Sorry, I'll just preface this with it's just a little laggy and breaking up. So if I sort of missed anything, I apologize in advance. But I did want to make a few comments about just in general about what we're doing as far as like expenditure. I mean, it seems to be there are three sort of different groups we consider. Like we'll look at things from our own personal perspective, and that might also include our direct family, so how we're surviving there, as well as if we're business owners, what kind of decisions will we do there, and then also what is right, what is good for the greater community. So definitely, as from the individual perspective, it's something we'll definitely want to do is reduce all our non-essential expenditure. I think people will naturally be doing that anyway in this sort of current environment. This sort of everything's very unsure. We're not sure where our next paycheck will come from. We're not sure where money will be coming from. So naturally, people will be in a state of, well, I have to be very careful about what I'm spending on money on. So it comes down to the essentials. As I was saying, I think naturally people will have that mindset. Similarly, we will make similar decisions about how we'll go about with business. Again, for the same reasons, we're unsure about whether that next contract will be fulfilled, where the income's coming from. So similarly, we'll try and control the expenses so that we retaining funds for only the most essential things. But the thing that sort of runs in contrast with that is, well, how is this? We're all very sort of inwardly focused right now, and rightly we should be. But how is this going to affect the economy? This is a very interesting period of time that I've certainly never experienced anything like this before, where there is a fear out there of all the things we've just talked about, and everyone's natural inclination is to reduce spending. I need to be very careful about where I'm opening my wallet. That has the flow-on effect of if everyone suddenly starts doing that, we see a massive reduction in economic activity, which sort of will provide this environment for perhaps, I don't want to be alarmist about this, but it might sort of signal a recession, a downturn in the economy. And there is a counterintuitiveness to that. While we feel we should be tight with our pockets, we should actually also be supporting our local businesses, because it's exactly the thing that is going to prevent a recession. So it's funny that those two things will run into contrast with each other, in that in very uncertain times, often the advice is actually people continue spending, support your local economy. That's what's going to prop everything back up again.
But it's
what's unique about the situation is that usually that seems to be the advice, which is to support business and to spend and support local businesses so that we may sort of fend off any sort of notions of a recession. But at the same time, we have a government mandate not to congregate in any large numbers. And we've seen so many businesses close shop. So those two things run against each other. How do we go and support businesses if they're not open, if they've been actually advised to close? That's a big question. I do not know the answer to it.
We've seen all of this firsthand in the last kind of sort of 10 days. The cafes and the bars that are shutting down, the venues, the festivals that have been cancelled. And just to think of, you know, they would have obviously created a lot of revenue, which is now just gone, and it all kind of filters down to, you know, even to us as service providers, because if our clients struggle, then, you know, they may not be able to afford to pay for their bookkeeper. So, you know, for us, it's a reality too. We don't quite feel it as yet, but I'm definitely anticipating it. And I guess, that's sort of what I was trying to say before as well about the stimulus package, and how I guess the idea is that money that businesses and individuals will have access to is that they should go and spend it to keep the economy kind of flowing, and that potentially they should not, you know, hoard their money in the same way as some people hoard toilet paper, and that, you know, they should keep the wheels somewhat turning in a way. But how do you do that when you're really scared of what's next, and when you don't know how long is this going to last? And
yeah, we were just talking about that with one of our bigger clients, a manufacturing client, and we were just running through their payables, which we have been really, it's been such a great year right up until now, and we've been able to just pay everyone on time, and it's been really consistent and really great. And today we are having to go through, and it's tricky because we're almost having to say, who do we think here? We want to, if we pay them, then that gives them confidence to pay their guys. But then if we do that, we're leaving ourselves potentially cash short, and it's such a tricky fine line at the moment. So yeah, it's just, it's about relationships probably you've built up with people as well in your business, and having that conversation about, can we pay you, you know, a quarter of it today? Or, you know, just reaching out and not just disappearing, I would suggest, is the best thing you can do in a business. And that way people know you're around, you're on board, you're trying to get through it, you're going to pay them as soon as you can. And then at least you're not leaving yourself short, you're not leaving them short, and you're still maintaining your relationships when it's all finished and everyone hopefully comes out the other side. You want to be able to get back onto that same business flow and same relationship.
Yeah. Brendan.
Oh, pardon me. Sorry. I was just going to give a final comment to that, saying there's the three sort of classes of people we want to be aware of that we mentioned before: the individual, maybe our business, and then the economy at large. Each person will have to make a decision as to how they're balancing their importances against those three classes of people. You want to be able to fulfill your needs. If you're budgeting on a personal level, you want to make sure that that is adhered to. But You also want to contribute to the economy, but also other people if they're relying on you as well. So I think the answer to the question of what can we do, the answer is what you can.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Okay, so we're going to attempt to wrap up this conversation in a meaningful way. I guess I wanted to sort of ask you, Brendan, you as an artist yourself and probably connected to a lot of people who are hurting right now, how can someone who may have a little bit of spending money and who wants to help the community, how can they help right now at this moment?
People who are already inclined to go and see the gig, go and support the artists, go and see their gig, buy their merchandise. Those artists are still there. A lot of them are. I mean, we're all sort of learning how to get through this, and we're a lot of us actually leaning on technology to sort of provide a new platform to get music to the people who want to hear them. So if you're so inclined already, the artist that you love is still out there. Go and find them. Go and see what they're doing. People are streaming performances. They're creating new works. It's all still there. Whilst they may not be physically around you, they definitely still are. They're out there in the world. They're up there in the cloud. So go and find them and support them that way. We live in a world where we are lucky enough to have all this technology to help us do this. Take use of that and continue to support the artists that you are already supporting.
Ben, what do you think?
I totally what Brendan said. I can see a lot of our clients are starting to do online streaming festivals, which are awesome. There was one on the weekend on Instagram, and it was really fun. It was to donate specifically to Support Act, and Support Act's a great charity that supports artists. But right now, that's wonderful. Go and buy their merch. That's, even if it's a little, tea towel or something, if someone sells something that if you can afford to, that's a wonderful way to continue to keep everyone going and humming on a little bit. Keep listening to them. The streaming's crap probably, but if we keep listening all day long when we're at home, then it's increasing everything. And I'm specifically talking about musicians, but, the arts in general across the board, all of the comedians who just had the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, their biggest money earner, let's be honest, of the year, and a lot were depending on it. That's gone. So I would check out their websites. I'd check out if they're going to start doing anything online as well that you can probably subscribe to. Everyone's pivoting really quickly to try and make not a money-making exercise, but to support themselves in these crazy times. So if we all have a lot more time on our hands, I know our first thing we all are thinking of doing is sitting on the couch and watching Netflix and stuff like that. But perhaps you can go onto their websites. They might have even things you can buy to colour in, or I don't know. There could be a bunch of stuff, but just keep attempting to help if you can and you're in the financial position to do so.
And money is a great way to help support people. If you find that you're in a position where you can support them, that's great. If not, though, if you find your funds are a bit too tied up to be able to afford something like that, artists are they're sociable creatures as well, as in we all love to be around each other and we love playing gigs. So even dropping a word of encouragement to people may not be enough, but it's something that is very important.
Yeah.
So I think staying connected with everybody as much as possible, don't go dark on anyone and, keep up the social media activities to kind of try and stay connected and feel like even though you may be at home on your own or, stuck with the kids or whatever, you are still connected to the community that you like being in.
Yeah, and reach out because it's like, I think mentally – it's a really, really tough time. So
yeah, absolutely. We're all going through this together.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for getting on to this online recording app called Ringer that we were trying out. And thanks for your wise words. And we hope that you'll come and visit us again on our new podcast.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Excellent. Thank you.
See ya.
We hope we've been able to provide you with some valuable information that'll help you get through this next little while. That's why we're here. Remember, it's important to stay compliant and up to date in order to access any of the government stimulus package support, and remember that we're all in this together. I look forward to bringing you more in the coming weeks, and if you need anything else in the meantime, head over to www.countingclouds.com.au. Bye.
Hi everybody, it's producer Gus here. I just wanted to give a big shout out to Josh Barber and Sam O'Halloran for providing the music you've heard in this podcast. Josh created the ethereal jams playing behind me right now, and Sam is the phenomenal jazz guitarist you heard underneath the News from the Boss Lady segment. You can find them both on Instagram, where they regularly share what they're working on. Josh is at Barbershop Sounds, spelt as it sounds, and Sam is at O'Halloran Sam. That's at O'HALLORANSAM, which kind of sounds like Oh Hello Ransom, which is cool.